Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of our brother Jesus and pray that by our worship this day, we might be inspired to be the reconciled and reconciling people of God who he called us to be. We extend a particular welcome to those of you who are joining us by our live streamed or our recorded worship this day. We have been living in a time for quite some time of being separated one from another physically and in worship as well. So we continue to pray for a time when we will return to be physically together in worship. And yet we also remember that by the power of the Spirit, distance and time can't divide us. And so we gather in worship with joy and celebration together. No matter who you are, or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. We have a few announcements this morning we want to share. As always, we thank our worship leaders for sharing their gifts this day. And so we thank Tom Foster and Beth Canterbury, Bill Ladd, Sarah Lynn Keller, and Wayne Zaretter. And also we give a special thanks to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer and the staff at Pegasus Natick who make this worship possible on the technical side. A few things about our worship this day. One of them is that, as usual, we invite you to light a candle at the time when I light the Christ candle, and that will be happening just following the announcement. So if you don't yet have a candle ready for worship, go and get one. Take a moment now to do that so that you might have it ready so that we can begin our worship together in a prayerful way. Also this day, this is a Communion Sunday, and so I am also going to encourage you, if you haven't already, to gather the things that you will use as bread and wine this day, bread, crackers, or something else that you might break and share with others who may be with you, juice, wine, or water in a cup or cups, any of those things will work. The power of the Spirit is also a work in our time of coming together in communion. So let us believe in that great promise. We have a time of lifting our joys and celebrations up in prayer during worship in our time of community prayer. And so we have a number of those that have come to us and that you will find in our worship bulletin. But you might also have some prayers or joys that you want to share with us this morning. And so you can do that by emailing them now to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. That's prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. If we receive those by the time of the reflection, we should be able to incorporate them into our time of community prayer a little bit later on. And as always, we have a time of post-worship fellowship that happens via Zoom video conferencing. You'll find a link to that time together in the bulletin and also on our church's website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. You could also find it in the church's weekly link emailings that would have gone out this week on Friday and also this morning, Sunday morning. And we also are going to be welcoming Marge Roberson, a member of our church who's been very involved in many issues related to immigration in our area and beyond. And so we'll have a time of casual fellowship as we usually do. And then Marge will let us know a little bit about what she knows about how the situation of immigration may be changed or changing during a new presidential administration and some other things that have been happening. So we look forward to being with Marge this day and with one another. Sarah Lynn, I know that you have some announcements this morning.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. I want to invite folks to join us for the Midweek Connection and Prayer on Wednesdays at noon. It's a time for a quick check-in and to share prayer requests and then to pray together. So you are welcome to join us then. And just a reminder that Jonathan is available during the week for pastoral care needs that you may have to reach him. You can use his email address, pastor@firstchurchnatick.org, or his cell phone. We'll get you linked to him. And I want to alert you that there should be some mail coming your way if you are on our mailing list. we want to enrich your Lenten experience. Lent begins on February 17th, Ash Wednesday. And so we're sending you a letter with some resources that you can use during that time in preparation for Easter. And you will also receive a packet that will have some sea glass and sand in it that we hope that you will put in a safe place to use during our worship services during Lent. So we hope that you'll join us for those worship services throughout Lent and on Sunday mornings. And then we also have a small group soul sabbatical that will start February 24th. And you can contact me to let me know that you're interested in that, and I can send you some more information. Well, we are in the fourth quarter of our Super Bowl challenge, and here we are, getting the game. The Penguins have donated $1,184 in food, and the Polar Bears are still ahead at $1,520. It's not too late. You can still go to You Give Goods and donate. If you want to donate before the Jonathan's reflection today, we will give a final update during our post-worship fellowship right after the service. So come on, Penguins, you can still do it and come sneak ahead of the Polar Bears once again. Remember, if you live south of Route 135, you are a Penguin. If you live north of Route 135, you are a Polar Bear, and you can go to You Give Goods up until the end of the reflection and still get in the game. Thank you.
We have a worship theme this day of overcoming dividing walls. And so it may seem ironic that we are lifting up the divisiveness of competition. And yet we'll remember the dividing line here is Route 135. It's actually an avenue that connects us. So let's try to remember that as we continue to be this worshiping body. Let us also try to remember that the power of the Holy Spirit is with us, is always with us. And so we take a moment to recognize that now as we light our candles together, remembering that as we receive the light of the Spirit, that we are the light of the world, called to make that light shine forth into every beshadowed corner where the light of God is most needed. The light shines, and we are part of reflecting it into the world. Let us continue our worship now with this morning's responsive call to celebration.
Please join me in our call to celebration. From the ends of the earth, we gather together.
The poor and the rich, the joyful and sorrowful, the honored and the despised.
All are gathered in one community,
reflecting the love and life, the welcome and wide embrace of God.
We have come from many worlds.
Let us worship God as one.
Restore.
Please join me in our opening prayer. God of compassion, some of us come as diseased and fragmented people, needing healing and wholeness, as fearful and grieving people, needing courage and faith, as separate and lonely people, needing the fellowship of community. All of us come as broken and imperfect people, needing your forgiveness. Bind up our wounds and bind us together. Help us hear your call to be a healing and uniting agency in the world. In Christ's name, amen.
I invite us each now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing, placing our hands over our hearts, perhaps, with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and meeting the spirits of others with our own peace, or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me honors and recognizes the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
This is a very generous congregation, a congregation that understands that its generosity is deeply connected to the mission and ministry of this church, its call to be an agent of God's love in the world. And so we encourage you to continue to be generous and to remember the missions and ministries that are so important to people in particular who are feeling disconnected, who are feeling isolated, who are feeling lonely, who are feeling separated from others. That's a mission and ministry that we share with one another as a congregation. And so there are many ways to give. You can give of your time and, of course, of the many talents and abilities that you have. We encourage that, of course, and we also encourage you to be generous with your money giving. You can do that by mailing a check to the church that will be happily received. You can also make contributions to this church's mission and ministry by making an online contribution at www.firstchurchnatick.org and following our giving portal there. So we encourage you to do that. However you do it, may it be done with a spirit of joy and knowing that we are God's hands and heart and feet in the world, helping to bring that love and reconciliation to the world. So let us present now with joy our offerings of commitment and support for the work of Christ's church in the continuing reconciling ministry of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Holy One, you taught us that there is one God in whose image we were made and that we too are to be one. Use us then and our offering of resources to carry this good news into the world, the message that has the power to break down the walls that divide your beloved and to bring justice and peace upon earth. By the power of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, beginning in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment." But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, "You fool," you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him or her, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. And continuing in chapter 9, verses 9 through 13 and 18 through 26, as Jesus was walking alone, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house with many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players in the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district. Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good fences make good neighbors. I've been thinking about this memorable line from Frost's poem, Mending Wall, hearing of President Biden's executive order that halted construction on the controversial wall along the U.S.-Mexico border that the previous president promised to build back when he announced his presidential bid more than 5 years ago. Well, Frost begins that poem with something there is that doesn't love a wall. It sends the frozen groundswell under it and spills the upper boulders in the sun and makes gaps even two can pass abreast. And so I was also reminded that when we lived in central Vermont, I used to look forward to one of my favorite early spring traditions, walking our property lines. It was a mostly wooded 6-acre parcel, so it didn't take that long to walk around, but it meant scrambling over fallen branches and hacking through brush and avoiding rusty barbed wire along that tumble down of rocks that were once a barrier between our property and a long disused farm. Well, as an admirer of a good stone wall, it felt a shame that it wasn't in better repair. But I didn't have time to rebuild it. Not even for doing as Frost did with his neighbor, walking the line together, each to a side, restoring the fallen rocks between them. And so I passed on during my walk, not bothering to reset the stones, not even one, because Frost was right. Something there is that doesn't love a wall. It would be like trying to be Sisyphus, pushing a rock up a hill again and again and again. And yet the thing is, we do love our walls. We love our walls. And the evidence goes back more than 25,000 years. And believe it or not, points to the woolly mammoth. The woolly mammoth. Excavations in places like the Czech Republic show that in addition to depending on mammoths for food and clothing and blankets and tents, Ice Age people used the curved tusks and bones of woolly mammoths for walls. They expended great energy transporting and piling up those tusks in huge walls around their camps. Human beings have often gone to great lengths in their wall building. The main section of China's Great Wall extends 2,500 miles, its branches totaling more than 4,500 miles, the longest structure ever created. Built to protect against northern invaders, its construction spread over 1,000 years and required 1 million builders, of which more than 400,000 died on the job. Well, walls were important in biblical times as well. There are nearly 300 references to walls in the Bible. And the reason is pretty simple. People who lived in unwalled settlements were exposed to brigand bands and invading armies. No doubt Jesus would have known the value of a thick wall and may even have seen this one in his own day, the Western Wall in Jerusalem's Temple Mount. And yet today's scriptures demonstrate Jesus' disregard for human barriers. He looks into an unlikely place and he calls Matthew, a tax collector and therefore a Roman collaborator, a sinner, as his disciple. No self-respecting rabbi would ever consider employing an outcast in such godly matters. But Jesus steps into Matthew's world. He eats with his friends. He puts Matthew to work in spreading the good news. He runs into another barrier when the synagogue leader announces that his daughter has died and he implores Jesus to come and touch her. Well, by custom, the family were to bury the dead and suffer the impurity of having touched death. But again, Jesus steps over another barrier and makes his way to the dead girl's side. Along the way, what happens? Well, he's confronted with yet another barrier, another separation. The bleeding woman touches his garment, thereby making him ritually impure. But he doesn't rebuke her. He doesn't chastise her. What does he do? He heals her. He heals her and he speaks words of encouragement. So what I take from this is the following. Jesus recognizes no walls that should keep him from others. He applies no test of doctrine. He applies no question regarding their their political motivations or convictions, no calculation about their race, their gender, their social standing. He only sees their need to be touched, to be healed, to be loved, to be forgiven. He responds to a basic need that we all share, the need to be made whole. Our love of walls, however, is about another perceived need that we have, and that need is security. Security. Rome, Paris, Jerusalem, these and other European and Asian cities have the foundations of once massive city walls behind which people took refuge in uncertain times. We don't build walls like that today, defensive city walls went by the boards, well, after the invention of artillery, but we still have our own walls. As this image of the separation wall that divides Jews and Palestinians shows, Israelis say it's to counter terrorism. Palestinians call it apartheid. And while the United Nations and the International Judicial Court deemed it a violation of international law way back in 2003, after 20 years, the separation wall still stands. Fear of others, however, has also made us a wall-building people again. From 2006 to 2010, as part of the Secure Border Initiative, SBI, Homeland Security added miles of steel picket and chain fence, plus high-tech surveillance, of course, to block pedestrian entry into the U.S. along the Mexico border. It was enhanced by our former president, who called it a great, great wall on a recent farewell tour, one great better than China's, I suppose, in his own mind. And he proclaimed, promise made, promise kept. And yet $15 billion later, that was $15 billion later, he built only a fraction of what he promised. 450 miles of a nearly 2,000 mile border with only slightly over 40 miles that was actually new wall. And now we know that even for the land of the free, a wall as a solution to the problems that we believe we have with others is a highly tempting thing. But walls can betray us. When the Black Death swept across Europe in the Middle Ages, it laid particular waste, well, to the cities, crowded into narrow lanes with poor sanitation. Cities were the perfect breeding grounds for plague-carrying vermin. It's ironic, really. The people hunkered down behind their great protective walls were actually made much more vulnerable. So our walls may keep out our enemies, and yet they may also become our prisons, where racism, xenophobia, and other social maladies can fester. And like Berliners, before their wall came down in 89, defining who's in and who's out so markedly means that we are relegated sometimes to ghettos of our own making, living amidst the sickness of isolation. When we say, if these walls could speak, we express a vain hope to know the things that our walls alone have witnessed. But the fact is, our walls do speak. They speak volumes about our brokenness. Real or imagined, the walls that we form between ourselves and others are often merely symptoms of our desperate need, I think, to ourselves be made whole. Good fences make good neighbors. The narrator's counterpart in Frost's poem quotes a proverb from the mid-17th century, right? good fences make good neighbors. But Frost's narrator in that poem asks, why do they make good neighbors? Isn't it where there are cows? But here there are no cows. Before I built a wall, I'd ask to know what I was walling in or walling out, and to whom I was like to give offense. Like to give offense, not a fence. Common sense says that we'll be better off. That we'll be better off with boundaries to keep things orderly, to divide yours from mine, to be protected from, well, from one another. But like Frost's narrator, I wonder if these aren't bought at too high a price. Besides, even nature seems to oppose the boundaries that we construct, something there is that doesn't love a wall. And someone there was who didn't love a wall. Someone who questioned conventional wisdom, someone who knew it was often trotted out in self-interest or to uphold the status quo, someone who wanted us to consider what it really means to be a good neighbor, someone who touched and blessed people mainstream society deemed risky, someone who taught us that being faithful means trying to restore relationship, attempting to overcome rifts between us and our siblings and the family of God, that when we know that someone has something against us, we can't be spiritually centered or worshipful unless that we have tried to reconcile our differences. Which is why just, halting the border wall isn't enough, or tearing it down, that's not going to be enough. Because this isn't just about physical walls, and we know it. What is keeping us apart today is a much more powerful, seemingly unscalable divide of worldview and of ideology. And woven in amongst those things, racism. No matter what side of the divide that we may find ourselves on, we have stopped seeing each other as human beings, let alone as neighbors for whom we are responsible. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know what is going to repair these kind of rifts. But I do know that this is the great challenge of our time, since confronting our common concerns, such as a pandemic or climate change, is going to require that we start working together in a way that we haven't yet. And I hunch that it may just be the great challenge and great work for which we are called as disciples and as a church. Because someone there was who didn't love a wall. Let us pray that he will touch and bless us too, and that he'll call us, as he did even the loathsome Matthew, to come sit with him, to be with him, to companion him in sharing the good news of God's love for every person. Let us hope that in our healing, we may be merciful to others who seem to be, by virtue of human division, on the wrong side of the divide. And let us work to tear down the visible and invisible walls that cut us off from others and from ourselves, using those stones instead to build paths, to build bridges to our siblings, and in the end, maybe, just maybe, to our true selves. May our loving God give us the courage to make it so. Amen. we come to a time now of gathering our community in prayer. This is a moment in our worship when we live the overcoming of divisions that Jesus would have us live. It's a time when we become vulnerable, when we share of ourselves and share with one another. It's a time when we invite each other into our own joys and concerns, a time when we share our lives. And so we do that now. And as we do that, I lift up in prayer all of those places where reconciliation is needed in our families, in our work lives, the places where structures of racism and white supremacy, for example, keep divided people who should not be divided, the places where there is confrontation that's needed, and perhaps confession as well, the places where forgiveness is needed, and maybe self-forgiveness as well. In all those places of brokenness, may the hand of our loving God be. And so I turn to Wayne Zaretter now to let us know about other prayer celebrations or concerns that have been lifted up prior to this worship or during it. Wayne?
Good morning. Our thoughts and prayers go out to friends and family who remain isolated and separated from their regular interactions and activities. Prayers for immigrant families whose lives are in limbo, far from home, and unclear of their paths forward. Prayers for Matthew and his extended family. Prayers for those families being evicted. Prayers and thoughts go out to Gwen and Bill Ramage's friend, Steve Smith, who is having heart surgery on Friday. Prayers for Jose, who is recovering from surgery for appendicitis, and to Yadira, who's recovering from a concussion. Prayers of appreciation and celebration for all the community employees whose work make our lives better, keeping our roads plowed, the lights on, and so much more. May we never take them for granted. Lastly, prayers for those involved in the COVID-19 vaccination process. May they find insights, strengths, and clarity as they seek to vaccinate those in need.
Thank you. Thank you, Wayne. So many places where the healing of God, where the renewal of God, where the overcoming of barriers is needed. So many places for us to be involved in powerful ministries together of healing. And so let us bring our thoughts and minds and hearts into worship, worshipful prayer now, as we consider the places of brokenness and what renewal might mean. Let us pray together. We thank you. We thank you, Holy One, for the gift of relationship and for companionship and friendship and partnership and all the ways that in togetherness our lives are expanded and enriched and renewed. So we ask you, Holy One, to continue to bless us in our lives with others, helping us to be good fellow travelers along the road. Because that road includes people who are feeling anxious and depressed, people who are indeed ill, people who are infirmed, people who are isolated and lonely, people who are experiencing great stress, such as financial challenges, people who are searching for a new way, people who are searching for others, people who are searching for you. Loving God, we know that without others, there is not one of us who can live, or at least live truly. And so we need one another, and we need you. And in fact, our scriptures teach us that you made us in your image, and part of that image is the sharing of life and love. And so help us to live into this identity and this calling that you have placed in us, made visible and underscored by the life and teachings of Jesus. May we be his agents of peace and healing here. And in particular, where there are divisions and divisiveness, may we be inspired to re-examine the obstacles between us, the nature of the rift, and to engage with others that wholeness and repair might be possible. Though today's divides may seem greater than we have ever known, help us to remember the instances where reconciliation and reunion arose, and know that by your power, all things are possible. We pray these things, as we do all things, in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so, people of God, I invite you now into an even deeper relationship with one another, with God, and with ourselves as we come together to share in communion. And so if you have not already done so, we invite you now to prepare those communion elements by the power of God. Even an English muffin can become a sacrament. Even a cup of water or tea can become a remembrance of God's redeeming, indeed God's reconciling love. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You who come to me shall not hunger. You who believe in me shall never thirst. In company with all who hunger and thirst for spiritual food, we come to God's table of plenty to know the risen Christ in God's life-giving bread and wine. This communion is open to all. Come, people of God, for all things are now ready. We are one bread, one body, one cup of blessing. Though we are many throughout the earth and this church community is scattered, we are one in Christ. So wherever you may be, rest your hands lightly upon these elements before you as we ask God's blessing upon them. Let us pray together. Gentle Redeemer, there is no lockdown on your blessing and no quarantine on your grace. So send your spirit of life and love, power and blessing upon every table where your child shelters in place, that this bread may be broken and gathered in love, and this cup poured out to give hope to all. Risen Christ, live in us, that we may live in you. Breathe in us, that we may breathe in you. And so we remember. We remember that Paul the Apostle wrote letters to congregations throughout places that we now call Greece and Turkey and Macedonia. And they were the first remote worship resources. Our online service, dear ones, has a long, long history and a long, long heritage. The communion words sent to the church at Corinth were these. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He broke it and he said, This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup also, saying, This cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us, in our many places, receive the gift of God, the bread of heaven.
We are one in Christ, in the bread we share.
Let us, in our many places, receive the gift of God, the cup of blessing.
We are one in Christ, in the cup we share.
People of God, take, eat. And now I invite you to join with me in praying our unison prayer of thanksgiving. Let us pray. Holy One, in ways seen and unseen, you are present in our days, bringing new life out of destruction, hope out of despair, growth out of tribulation. You labor tirelessly to make us whole. We offer our gratitude for the joy of knowing that we are your people. We thank you that by your participation in our lives, we become vehicles of hope and reconciliation for others. Fulfill in us now the intent of your will. Amen. As we prepare to depart this worship, I have to go back to division again and remind us of this competition, this Super Bowl giving competition. And to let you know that if you want to know the outcome of that particular contest, that you will have to come to post-worship fellowship to find out exactly how those two teams did. But as we turn now to the closing of our worship, we ask that each of you be of one heart and one mind, that whatever might divide us doesn't stand in the way of us being the church together and advancing God's mission in the world. And so, people of God, let us arise from our worship respecting the need for physical distance in a pandemic, but committed to tearing down dividing walls and meeting all people with the loving kindness of Christ, working for the day of God's shalom, when ungodly divisions will be no more. And as we do, may the blessing of the creating God, the compassionate Christ, and the unifying Spirit be with us all. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.